Hello.
There we go.
Great
Hello.
To be back.
This is the second time that Isla's been on the show. The first time was a bit of a bad session, so to speak.
God, that was so bad.
We were definitely having a meltdown of sorts.
Yeah, totally. It was totally a meltdown. Except we haven't really gone over anger, and I think that was like I haven't been more like just absolutely. It's noon, so I guess we gotta be clean. But I was having a meltdown.
Yeah,
that was scary. That was maybe the most mad I've seen you in a couple years or so.
It actually kind of ruined my day.
The day already kind of sucked before we woke
True.
Up, though, to be fair.
It was already like, oh yeah, because that was the election day, right?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That was so bad.
Anyways, yeah, but we're back and hopefully we're up and running now.
We're back, yeah. Yeah, and we have some Portishead interests to explore today.
Yes.
Will really, really turn me on to Portishead.
Yeah, so right after last show, I guess I started... Ivan was like, oh, have you heard of Beth Givens? And I was like, oh, funny you mentioned that. You know, on my way over here, I was just playing some Portishead. He's like, oh, is that like her, is that her side project? I was like, no, that's really like her main thing. But you know, Ivan's probably not the most typical like trip hop type of guy, which is like, I guess, Portishead's most well-known work.
Right. Well, and also to be fair, I listened to Third.
Yes.
That's what I've been... I've just been grinding that all week.
Yeah, but when you hear Portishead, people will recommend Dummy, which is probably, like, not
right.
exactly your, like, piece of pie.
I listened to it once through.
Yeah.
And it... Yeah, it's a lot more industrial
for sure.
than I was ready for. I'm gonna ease into it.
When did you try first?
So I've been listening to Third since the entire... Like, as soon as Will told me, and then I've just been listening to it the entire week. And in fact... me and Oliver were playing Minecraft, and
really and good Minecraft music, honestly.
It is, yeah. And we listened to this, and then Magic Doors came on, and we both like kind of went silent. And then I said, "Yo, are you hearing this?" And then Oliver went, "I think that might be everything that I look for in music." Wait, can we like? And then we lost it, and then we're like, "Okay, we're just gonna listen to it all through again." And then we found Magic Doors again, and then we just like. Pressed pause, and then we just like sat back and listened to it, and it was just unbelievable. When that chord comes in, ooh, we're gonna listen to it.
Yeah,
and it is phenomenal.
Actually, I'm just now realizing that Magic Doors flows beautifully into the first song that we have played, Threads. They're back to back on the album.
They are, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we should just start with Magic Doors and have it play right into Threads.
God, it's gonna be so good. Okay, yeah.
It's gonna be beautiful. Let's just get everything ready, I guess, and then we want to remind you that you are listening to 91.5 WMFO, and we're going to kick you in to some Portishead, Third, Magic Doors. Let's go.
Let's do it.
I can't deny what I've become.
Little bit of Portishead for your morning.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
It Third blew me away. I was telling Ivan and Isla this off air. The first time I listened to this album, I was a driving home from school, and I just wanted something new to listen to. And I couldn't tell exactly how far we were in the album because I was driving, and I don't look at my phone when I'm driving.
Oh well.
I try to be safe.
It's Cap.
Ivan. I'm a notoriously bad texter, so I think that speaks well in my favor. When Threads came on, I automatically knew, like, okay, this is, like, you know, the final song in the album. And I thought it was just very, I loved it. That was, like, my favorite song my first listen through.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's brilliant. Yeah, like, I was telling Will, I definitely like... I guess I'm just kind of getting into the industrial sound, so yeah. I definitely preferred Magic Doors, and then Threads was an amazing closer, but then you still have, like, melodic songs that kind of beat on in a pop sort of fashion, like The Rip. It's an amazing album. Can't wait to go do Dummy.
Yeah,
get into Dummy.
It's universally said to be, like, one of the best albums of all time, so...
Universally.
Pretty. Well, like... Amongst the greater music scheme. I feel like it's always in there. It's always like thrown in that mix.
I see at it least on for a the lot 90s. Of lists all the time, for sure.
Anyways, I guess going back into deep in my memory, if you want to know a little bit about Will, is I played a lot of Guitar Hero as a child. Anyone who has seen me play Guitar Hero knows I probably spent a little too much time playing it at some point because
Will's being really humble.
He's really good.
Will's really good, which I mean, it's something that you know, it's something you should be proud of.
It's like it's a legitimate skill. I remember one of the first times I ever hung out with you, like your freshman year, my sophomore year, you were ripping Guitar Hero, and I was like, this dude is.
He's cool.
He's cool.
Dude, he's cool. Really he's cool. Cool. No, yeah. I mean, Guitar Hero is something that, you know, like on a first date or something, you definitely want to tell them immediately up front, like, I am one of the best in the world at Guitar Hero.
For sure.
I am not even...
you're not one of the best in the... I mean, you're not like... Because you're not like Alex level good at Mario Kart.
No, yeah. Our friend Alex is obscenely good at Mario Kart, and if I were to extrapolate...
Obscenely good is also the perfect way to describe it.
It is obscene.
If you were to extrapolate his level of... Mario Kart to my level of Guitar Hero, he would like blow me out of the water.
Sure, Will.
Sure.
No, that's 100% true.
No,
like,
no, no,
as
for
someone
sure.
Who's like somewhat like invested in the Guitar Hero scene, like I'm like if I'm tip of the iceberg, they're like, you know, in the Mariana Trench.
Right, man. Hey, don't discredit yourself. You're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyways, the big game that we had going around was Guitar Hero 3. And in the fourth, I think it was the fourth, you know, you sort of went on tour, and each tour had four songs. Some had an encore song. On the fourth tour, there's this song that I absolutely hated. And it was Cool Thing by Sonic Youth.
Aw, man.
And I hated it so much as a child. And I sort of, like, there's a point where I lost Guitar Hero, and I'm so glad it joined back. But I revisited a lot of the songs that I used to play, and I turned on Cool Thing, and I said, this song is spectacular. It's really, really good. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a cool thing.
And I think a lot of my music enjoyment is, one, derived from Guitar Hero, and two, derived from my dad.
Yeah.
I mean, as is mine.
I was going to say.
Except not the Guitar Hero part.
Yeah. I was going to say,
quickly,
the first time I heard Cool Thing,
right.
I think my mom played it for me.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, this song freaking rocks.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really nice whenever your parents are your main influence.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we don't have Cool Thing queued, but a different Sonic Youth song.
Yes. That's cool.
Not to get your hopes up if you were hoping to hear that song.
Yeah, I do just quickly want to pick a bone with Will. Will once said that if he had spent as much time on Guitar Hero, that he would be a really good guitarist. That he would be like
the implication. It's an incredibly transferable skill, Guitar Hero to real guitar.
I don't think it is, and I think it's just that the way it was described is that like if I had not wasted all my life on Guitar Hero, that I would be doing real things right now. I'd be in a band, and my thing is just that like that's the equivalent of saying, like if I go and run a ton in this virtual world, that I'll be really good at running. If I spend all this, like, they just don't transfer. Like, if I spend a bunch of time walking or something, that I'm going to be really good at running.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
The buttons speak to me the same way that the strings speak to me.
Okay. I just remember hearing that it's just...
That was for a while.
That was our big squabble freshman year. I guess my freshman year.
Yeah.
Was that. Anyways, inspired by my intense Guitar Hero playing as a sixth grader, we're going to play some Sonic Youth for you. And I really do hope that you enjoy what we're about to play. Let's get into it.
A stranger on a train. You bumped right into me.
Hello.
Hello.
Hope you enjoyed that intermission of Sonic Youth. Well, it's really like, you know, us speaking in a little sandwich of Sonic Youth, when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't get that, but it's fine.
It's all right. It's a little abstract. It's okay if you don't get it.
It might be a little difficult for you.
I'm sure. Okay. Isla.
Isla has a little message for us.
Yes, I do. Even though marijuana is the safest known psychoactive drug, legal for recreational use in many states, including Massachusetts, and nobody has ever died from an overdose, when you get high, your brain functions differently.
It does.
Consuming cannabis and products derived from it containing THC will alter your senses, change the way your body processes perceptions and thoughts, and affect your reaction times, most dangerously when you're faced with an immediate emergency situation, which can happen at any time when driving. It is a delusion that stone drivers are better. Impaired drivers of any kind are more dangerous to themselves and others. So if you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a motor vehicle and driving. Walk to your destination, take public transportation, or find a way of getting a ride from an unimpaired driver. Spend your time peacefully enjoying life as you safely get to your destination instead of worrying whether you might kill other people with a single mistake in your judgment. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford. Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you, Isla.
Thank you. That was pertinent and needed. I think I just said two synonyms, but that's okay. read like a true English major.
Did it?
Yes.
I had a table read last night for my friend's film thesis, and I had to read a character. So
you're all warmed up.
I'm all warmed up. I had to read three lines.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a notoriously bad reader.
That's super not cool.
I know, it's really not cool. But
takes away from your cool points.
Classic engineer.
No, but my Guitar Hero, makes up for it. it's Will, surrounded by two English majors right around here, and I'm an engineer, so I feel a little bit of out of place. But
I kind of consider you an honorary one of us, just by vibes.
Thank you.
Nope.
I was being generous.
It's okay. there's a little tension in the room.
We need more gatekeeping.
It's a very exclusive club.
Yeah, there's a little tension in the room right now, but
that's fine. We'll talk about it off air.
We're going to talk about it off
air. So what do we have next?
So, a little backstory going into this. I guess when I met Ivan, I was more of a rate your music type of guy, and he was more of a Pitchfork type of guy, and we sort of like intermingled a little bit in that. So after I met Ivan, I read a little more Pitchfork, and after he met me, he perused Rate Your Music a little more. And I found this one album on Rate Your Music one time. And you know, anything that's like a 4 or over on that website is like generational. Like the rating scheme's a little goofy. Like the best album of all time is like a 4.3.
And yeah.
And so it's just like, you know, the standards are low, but anything over 4 is like pretty generational, I feel like. And I found this one, it was like 4.1, and I never heard it. And I listened to it for the first time. I was like, it was all right. And then I listened to it again recently, and I really, really enjoyed it. And so hopefully we're going to turn Ivan on to something. So this is, the album is called Leaves Turn Inside You by Unwound. Mm. And the song that we're going to play is October All Over. I think it just has a really grimy feel to it that I really like. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Let's get into it.
Thank you.
What we just listened to was Protector by Midair Thief off of their, I think it was like 2019, maybe that's wrong, album Crumbling, which was maybe my favorite album that I found last year, despite it not coming out last year. Really, really, really a big fan of that one. And before that, we had October All Over by Unwound off their album, off their 2001 album, Leaves Turn Inside of You. Or no, sorry, just Leaves Turn Inside You. While we were off air, I think a pretty interesting discussion about just, I guess, just music, the critiquing side of music, and I guess just like the documentation of that in forms of websites and stuff broke out. Ivan, I feel like you had some things to say.
So I think you have a kind of two sides of the musical criticism right now, in that you definitely have the radio music side and you have the Pitchfork side. And the radio music side, Will, you can disagree with this, but I definitely think that's also the Anthony Fantano sort of side. And then let's be honest, the Pitchfork side is a bit more snobbish.
Sure.
Very.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go through radio music, it's definitely got a lot more of an industrial bend to it. Dare I say something akin to like blue collar bend to it, because I think it's more of like, it's like a, I don't know, I hate to distinguish, again, distinguishing these and putting them in categories is exactly the thing that I guess you want to counter, but like,
sure.
I think Rate Your Music has a bit more of like a proletarian feel to I guess what would be critically acclaimed music, and then Pitchfork definitely has the more bourgeoisie bend. But they obviously have a lot of similarities. And the thing is, it's kind of funny, they all agree on kind of the same thing, on like what music deserves to be in the canon, of like critically acclaimed modern music and what doesn't. But so, yeah, I don't know. And me and Isla were talking about how that's kind of actually both how we got into music was through Pitchfork. And I guess, yeah, I don't know. I have conflicted feelings about music criticism. I think you know, a few years ago, I would have said that it's just so important.
Right.
And that it really, it stops bands who are doing creative things that might not be completely profitable. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, like, when you listen to the radio, like, you're not listening to music that the general population actually might find great. It's just that it's popular, and popular today means profitable, right? And so, you know, I always thought, oh, musical criticism is, you know, working against that, right? But at the same time, Pitchfork is also guilty of creating a ton of narratives that will just stick, you know, like, I'm trying to think of good examples. I think, like, you could even go, like, Beck's Odelay, to me, is an album that on Radio Music will definitely get a more favorable bend than Beck in general. And then it's actually funny, Isla, you'll get this, like, Pitchfork definitely, like, they came out and only gave it an 8.5. And,
right.
You know, Odelay is a foundational album of the 90s, and also, like, really influential in the sample world, which, yeah. What is that genre of music called?
Plundertronics.
Okay, yeah, and yeah, and like Pitchfork starts it off with a postmodern masterpiece, and gives it a 8.5, right? A postmodern masterpiece you would think would be a 10,
yeah.
But it's just that Pitchfork is still like seeped, entrenched within this like deep modernist, the singular album, like, you know, the Kid A's that are just like perfectly capturing the artist and Radiohead, right?
The first sentence of a Pitchfork review can't talk about the album directly if it needs to get a 10. I think Kid A starts with, I've never seen a shooting star.
Yeah. Yeah, and then basically it just goes on to, it's like just this guy just describing how, but Kid A felt like seeing a shooting star.
Right, yeah. I remember that because I think I read that review when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
When I was getting really a little, I mean, Will tells a lot of stories. Here's my story, is that really is how I got into music was Radiohead. I just kind of like found them when I was like 12 or 13 years old. And then I just was like singularly focused on Radiohead for years.
That's how it goes.
And yeah. And like, goes, yeah. I mean, honestly, props to 12-year-old Isla because she actually put me on a pretty good path, but because I was so into Radiohead at that time, like, I think I really naturally fell into the Pitchfork sphere a little bit. Like, you start looking up, you know, OK Computer was my favorite album at the time, and so I just would look up OK Computer, and then Pitchfork comes up, and then it becomes kind of this whole thing where just the way that I was introduced to music and music criticism was just through this idea of like what is good and what is not good and what is important and what is not important, which, like, to an extent it is, you know, having some sort of agreement over what is part of the canon is kind of like important if you're going to create a canon, but also this obsession with the canon as well is also kind of problematic.
Yeah, and it's limiting, like, yeah, I don't know. I think you have to have these lists, right? And that's what Pitchfork and Radio Music are so good at doing. Like, you know, they have these like best of the 90s or the best of the last 25 years, and it's important because then, you know, you basically get a history of like, okay, what were the important albums that came out that are really influencing what's going on today? And if you don't have those, you know, it's going to be really hard for you to get into the history and the culture. But yeah, definitely a problem with, I guess, like the singular rating of things, because Pitchfork misses bad. Like, yeah. I do think Ants From Up There was just like a horrendous miss.
Yeah.
They don't even put it in the top 25 of 2022.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Whereas like on Rate Your Music, that's a top 50 album of all time.
Yeah.
Also, Rate Your Music missed it too. It's not a top 50 album of all time. Yeah, I don't know. And then just like, yeah, you can just tell, like, there are for sure, like, slight snobbish differences, you know, like, so Kid A is on Rate Your Music, Radiohead's third best album, and In Rainbows is the best album,
right.
Whereas Pitchfork says Kid A by far, and then it goes, and I don't know, Kid A by far, but, like, it's Kid A, then OK Computer, and then a distant, not even in the same question as In Rainbows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is definitely, like, Pitchfork is definitely the Kid A by far, like,
right, exactly.
That is what it is. And like, even I talked to my aunt a lot about music because she's also kind of into music. She had a radio show when she was in college, and she bought me the Kid A record when I was in high school or something, and she, like, the little note that she's like this is the greatest one, this is the one that everyone says is the best Kid A album.
Radiohead album.
A Radiohead album. Thank you. So that's definitely like, I don't know. I think music criticism has really grown from Pitchfork, and then
yeah.
Rate Your Music has come out of that as a like, what if we did something else? But by setting itself up as the like supposed antithesis to it, it's kind of like putting itself into like a restrictive hole.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be pros and cons that come with the democratization of music criticism. Sure, yeah. You know. Yeah. But yeah. So I think we're about to play. Are we going to play?
Yeah. We're. This Bjork. Is a little Isla special. Oh, no, I guess that? We haven't played Smashing Pumpkins yet, and they're. My 2022 was ruled by them. If you look through my Wrapped, I think three of my top five songs are off of Siamese Dream. So, but we're not going Siamese Dream. We're going slightly later in their discography. I think our next two songs are really, I guess, based off of the snowy feel of the day. And so let's get into them.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Thank you. inside. Half awake, half asleep, we faint back into sleep. When I wake up a second time in his arms, gorgeousness, he's still inside.
That was just Cocoon by Bjork, and before that we had Cupid Deluxe by the Smashing Pumpkins off of their album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. Ivan said he was going to put me on the spot, so I'm...
Can you do your best? Can you hear me?
Oh.
Oh, there we go. Can you do your best Bjork impression?
Oh.
When I go...
Okay, I'm done. The listeners don't want to hear that. That was supposed to be Hidden Place, by the way. Yeah.
I forgot Kristen Wiig was regularly doing a Bjork impression on SNL in 2007.
It's so impressionable. Yeah.
I completely forgot it, and it's good.
Thank you.
It was good.
Yeah.
Anyways, our time here has just about wrapped up. Thank you for listening to Effective Meltdown, and thank you, Isla, for coming on.
Thank you.
Of course, happy to be here.
We want to remind you one last time that you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Isla, I'm glad you could come.
Thank you for having me.
A day that has a lot more success than the first time you were here.
Yes.
Did you have fun?
I had so much fun. I wish I could come every day.
It's okay. You know, this time's a lot more forgiving.
For sure.
We're going to switch you off to some automation. We hope you have a great day wherever you're doing. Freeform forever.